Hi, can you hear me okay? How you guys doing? Yeah? Great job presenting this morning. Did you all present? You were one of the groups presenting? I was very inspired by the presentations. It's nice to meet you. I'm Julia Gittes. I'm the founder of Good Neighbor Lab, which is a new name I just announced last week for my nonprofit in San Francisco. Thank you. So I guess what I do is three things. I strengthen relationships between neighbors in San Francisco, relationships between neighbors and their institutions, and encourage hyperlocal innovation. And those are three things that I care a lot about, and I'm excited to share with you all. I wasn't sure what to talk about with you all today, so I thought I'd just nerd out on data for a second, because I haven't done that in a while. One thing that I've been thinking a lot about, my background's in education and product management. I was an ed tech product manager for many years, is that as a product manager, your job is to report on whether your work is successful or not, and oftentimes that's based on keeping people staring at their devices for as long as possible, which I'm summarizing by our friend, what's his name? Is that Leonardo DiCaprio? Saying, don't look. I'm really bad at pop culture. And so much of success in products, for those of you who want to build new tools in the future, are based on keeping people on the product as long as possible. And a really common software product success metric that I was responsible for was time on site or session duration. So if you ever work at a tech company, you'll hear that metric, which is how do you keep people on the site as long as possible. I worked at Khan Academy for 5 years as a nonprofit. The way we talked about time on site was learning minutes. So at least the kids who were on our website were ostensibly learning, but at the end of the day, it's still a metric of keeping people on Khan Academy as long as possible. And the most common relationship you talk about when you talk about technology is a relationship between you and your device, whether that's a kid in their Chromebook or you and your phone. The metric is time on the device, and the relationship is you and your device. And so I just thought today maybe we could brainstorm for a second what might a different metric and a different relationship look like. Is that okay? Okay, cool. I have three examples that I wanted to run by you and see what you all think. So the first one is something I built at Khan Academy that I'm really proud of. Have you all used Khan Academy, or has anyone here used Khan Academy before? Okay, cool, maybe a little bit. It's a website that a lot of people learn math on, so sometimes I talk to groups where like people learned math on Khan Academy. So when Khan Academy started out, when our founder Sal built Khan Academy in his closet and recording math videos, it was a tool for individual learners who were highly motivated to go to the website and learn math. And then more and more classrooms around the world started using Khan Academy, and teachers started assigning Khan Academy to their students. But the website never really changed. It was always designed just for individual interaction with the computer. But then when I was brought onto the classroom tools team, we started going into actual classrooms in K-12 settings. And looking at the classroom, we noticed teachers were creating these physical trackers. They sometimes look a lot more fun than this. This was just an image I pulled at 2 a.m. last night. But teachers will sometimes decorate their classrooms with trackers to motivate their students to do math. By the way, one of the hardest problems you can ever work on is making math fun for kids. So it's just a hard problem to work on many levels, technology or not. I don't know if this video will play, but I wanted to show you what we built with LearnStorm. How do I play something here? Wayne's going to do some magic for me. I don't know if there's sound on this. It's just a cute video I like to show. You can pause it. You get the picture. This is not your typical software product interaction with a math learning tool. One of the things I'm most proud of is when the LearnStorm was called the world's only classroom engagement tool that both drives skill mastery and gets kids dancing. The thing I want to point out that's really unique about it is that we actually, based on what teachers were already doing in their physical spaces, created a tool for them to use during class. So being aware of sort of the spatial and relationship aspects of the classroom, with there being not just one student, but 20 or 30 in the class, and a teacher in the front, and a projector. And so being able to use Khan Academy and sort of like taking advantage of the full classroom space. So I just wanted to mention that the old success metric might have been time on site, but maybe the new success metric was dancing. And the old relationship was just just between you and your phone or the student and their Chromebook. And maybe the new relationship is like you and your whole class, right? So that's what a product like LearnStorm is really able to drive, which is to create a whole new product experience and classroom experience because of that. The second example I want to give is from Pokemon Go. Has anyone here played Pokemon Go? Heard of Pokemon Go? Okay, a few people raising their hands. Cool. So I don't have a video here, but I think you guys might have seen them. Have you all seen the videos of people playing Pokemon Go, like crashing into each other because they're staring down at their phones? So I hired the designer from Pokemon Go, and one of the things he taught me, I didn't work on Pokemon Go, but I just learned a lot from the designer, was they actually, like the reason they added a vibration to the app, which is called haptic feedback, is so users didn't have to look at their phone the whole time to know when a Pokemon was nearby. And they literally launched that as a safety feature because people were crashing into things and putting themselves into dangerous situations. And so thinking about how you can actually keep Pokemon Go in your phone, it'll vibrate and notify you when there's something you need to do on the phone, and then you can pull it out. So what I like about that is that it changes the success metric from, again, time on site to keeping your phone in your pocket. That's literally why it was launched. And the relationship becomes, again, not just you staring at your phone, but being able to be more mindful of the people around you. Even if it's not a deep relationship, you're not literally running into them and causing bodily harm. The third example I want to give is through some work I've been doing in San Francisco for a couple of years, designing neighborhood bulletin boards, kind of similar to what Humphrey was presenting. I've had this idea for a while. I started with a cardboard prototype, and then I built a digital prototype. These are my last three digital prototypes back when I was landscape and then portrait, and then I got some funding, so I made it a little fancier. But these are neighborhood bulletin boards that I put on public sidewalks and get feedback from people to see what kind of content they'd want on there. I want to ask you this question. I'm always playing with how to make the content more interactive and engaging. And so when I first started, I had questions for the neighborhood, and I wanted to see if people would answer them. So I had like a question that said, this week's poll. And then I had a QR code that you could scan to answer the question. The example here in my neighborhood was, how long have you lived in West Portal? And then another version I tested of that was, I had a game with a picture of a dog and a picture of a cat, and it said, pick a side and stand next to it. So I'm gonna pause here. Which one do you think more people participated in? How many of you think that it was the poll with the QR code? How many of you think it was the cat and the dog? Yeah, you're correct. So the winner was taking advantage of the physical space and asking users to move their bodies. That took me like a couple of years to learn, so y'all are smarter than I am. But people told me for years to test QR codes. Man, I tested so many QR codes. Everyone's like, okay, but how are you gonna drive traffic to my thing? You gotta get a QR code on there. So I played with so many versions of that. And then at the end of the day, a friend of mine who works at the Exploratorium and designs exhibits there was like, Julia, just have people move to the left or move to the right. I was like, oh, why didn't I think of that earlier? Also, people in San Francisco are obsessed with their cats and dogs, so pet content tends to do really well. But I learned a lot from that experience, and now when I design the content, we focus more on like really understanding the physical space that we're in and having people engage there, and then I had people taking selfies and wanting to post the selfies. Anyways, the whole thing. A lot more interaction with that. So again, the old success metric might have been time on site, but now we're focused on moving. The old relationship was, again, between you and your phone, but now we're just engaging people with people around you, like, hey, you're a cat person. I thought you were a dog person. So I guess my thesis that I'm bringing to you today is we can change the relationship our users have with technology and with each other. And feel free to check me out and follow me on Instagram, and happy to hear your feedback and thoughts. Thank you.